And on this Passion Sunday, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. If I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. We enter today the last 2 weeks of Lent, the most intense time dedicated to prayer and sacrifice. As we hear today in the Gospel, that Christ openly reveals his divinity, echoing the divine name that God had revealed to Moses, "I am who am," there on the burning bush in Mount Sinai. And so we see that before the open manifestation of his divinity, having seen Lazarus being raised from the dead, that they still do not accept him. And so our Lord, as the Gospel ends today, hides himself. And so the Church covers the image of Christ so that we might be invited to seek him spiritually, that we might likewise seek more solitude and prayer and time of penance in this holy 2 weeks of Passiontide. And we contemplate that Christ is not only going to die as a victim, and it's very important always to conceive all of the mysteries of his life and the whole liturgical year, as by extension, as one motion of God who empties himself, taking on our human frame, becoming even, taking the form of a slave, even unto death. Okay, this is what we'll contemplate in the Triduum, that from the St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, of how he emptied himself, and then dying, being obedient even unto death, and then is raised up, is exalted. Okay, and so we should see that as one motion. As we hear, likewise, St. Paul to the Hebrews, quoting the psalmist, that that eternal conversation, where the sacrifices and oblations of the Old Testament did not please God, save as a prefigurement of the body which was prepared for Christ, which he assumes so as to offer and sacrifice. And hence, he will not only die as a victim, okay? He will offer himself as priest. And this we see particularly in his words where he said, with no man takes my life from me, I lay it down, that with great desire I desire to eat this Pasch with you, for this is my body which shall be given up for you, this is my blood which shall be poured out for you. Okay, so we contemplate on the day before his death, that he wills to offer his life. Okay, that makes all the difference, as every high priest is appointed to offer sacrifice to God. And so Christ is not only victim, but our divine priest. And so we contemplate today in the epistle, the church places the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews before us, that we might contemplate all the prefigurements of Christ's sacrifice in the Old Testament as it's fulfilled in the New Testament and perpetuated amongst us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And you can go back, you can read the whole letter to the Hebrews, but even this chapter he cites today, going back to the beginning of chapter 9, it tells us just a brief description about that tabernacle where God dwelt with his people. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein were the candlesticks and the table and the setting forth of loaves, which is called the holy. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden censer and the Ark of the Testament covered about on every part with gold, in which was a golden pot that had manna and the rod of Aaron that had blossomed and the tables of the Testament. And over it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the propitiatory, of which it is not needful to speak now particularly. Okay, what did those types represent? And I'd like to recommend a book I learned very much from after even so many years of study in the seminary and in college. So there was a great wealth of information that's, I think, unknown to many in the work by Dr. Brandt Petra called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. He has a number of works. It would be a great reading for this Passiontide, wherein he spells out from ancient Jewish testimony the full description, let's say, of how that Pasch was sacrificed, what it signified, the manna, for example, that they kept in the Ark of the Covenant. So I very much recommend that to you. It's likewise available on audio, on Audible, if you drive a lot and want to listen to it. So I'll link that to the sermon on our website. But there, to take us back to the context, you will recall that Adam, the father of humanity, the first man, was expelled from paradise. Paradise where he lived with God, where he lived in his presence and communed with him as his image and likeness, which is a language which indicates sonship, as he was filled with divine grace. But he was expelled for his disobedience, his transgression, eating from the fruit of the tree together with Eve, and expelled, and a cherubim was placed there at the entrance to paradise, so that he might not enter again and eat of the tree of life and live forever separated from God, so that his death and our death by consequence would serve as a means of reparation, as a means to dying to this world and its temptations, so as to live eternally with God anew in an even greater paradise. And then we see that man was given a second chance. So as a cherubim guarded the holy paradise of Eden, then that was represented to Moses in his vision by the Ark of the Covenant. Recall how Moses had spent 40 days there amidst the cloud of glory on top of Mount Sinai, fasting in the presence of God. And he's given the heavenly vision of how God wants his tabernacle to be designed, this Ark of the Covenant. And so he designs it accordingly, and you will note that it was that there was placed the presence of God, likewise guarded by two cherubim, which St. Paul just mentioned to us. Okay, so that this represented, there were also symbols of vegetal life, so it represented a returning to paradise to that original communion with God. And we see that in that place, other commentaries suppose that that same place of the where the temple was then built by Solomon and the Ark of the Covenant was placed, that that was where Adam was formed from the dust of the earth, that that is where Melchizedek had been king of Salem and Jerusalem, that that is where Abraham had offered Isaac, would have offered Isaac in sacrifice, when God intervened by the angel to tell him that God would provide himself the lamb. And so there the priests, now looking at what was in that temple, now constructed by Solomon, you went into the holies, past the first veil. There you would encounter, as St. Paul mentions there, the golden table on which were placed the loaves of proposition, or showbread. More literally translated as the bread of the presence or the bread of the face. Okay? And there the priest would renew this bread sacrifice as they put grains of incense there to offer this to God in remembrance of what? The original sacrifice of Melchizedek, who offered bread and wine. And so there they would renew, offer these breads to God, then they would eat them as they drank wine. And so, what did this signify? Again, being the bread of the face, it is a bread placed before the face of God, and which mirrors to Israel the face of God. As it recalls not only Melchizedek's sacrifice there, that which he offered to Abraham, but also Moses. So recall when Moses went up on the mount and he received the Ten Commandments, he had first offered a blood sacrifice. Okay? Now this blood sacrifice, again, signifies that we are united under penalty of death. Right? Any infidelity to this covenant requires the death of he who transgresses. And so an animal was sacrificed in expiation as a scapegoat for the sins of Israel. That blood was then sprinkled on the altar, God's dwelling place, and then sprinkled on the people, okay, to unite them in that covenant. And so, there we see that afterwards what happens. After they had entered into this covenant by blood, that then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. So likewise, that blood sacrifice and covenant was sealed by a communion meal to eat and drink in the presence of God. And so we see then that this showbread, or bread of the presence or bread of the face, was so important to the Israelites and was again renewed every Sabbath that on special high feast days, the priests would take it out. And from the Babylonian Talmud, we read the following, that they would exhibit the bread of the presence on it on those feast days to those who came up for the festival, saying to them, "Behold God's love for you." As it would have reminded them likewise of the manna, which God had showered upon them from heaven in their 40 years sojourn in the desert. That manna which they kept in the Ark of the Covenant, which they hoped that the future Messiah would then restore, being, as it were, a manna from the original Garden of Eden, as many thought. And so, there was that feast day of the Bread of the Presence. Likewise, we should contemplate the Day of Atonement, which occurred later in the fall. And on that day, too, the sins of the people were transferred to a victim, to a scapegoat. Another victim was sacrificed, the blood was sprinkled in the Holy of Holies. So now going past the second veil, that's where they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, there between the cherubim, entering into the presence of God, so as to obtain mercy for his people. And there the high priest would pronounce the holy name of God, Yahweh, I am who am. And so, in addition to the Day of Atonement, there was also the Pasch, right? And the Pasch, which we still celebrate, is our Easter Pasch. And there every family would have to bring a lamb, 1 year of age, without blemish. And it would be sacrificed. Not only sacrificed, but crucified. Okay, as we see from ancient Jewish testimony and from ancient Christian testimony. St. Justin Martyr has a great document, his dialogue with Trypho the Jew. Wonderful to study this as he proves Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God from the Old Testament. So it's a great review of all those prophecies from the Old Testament. And he reminds Trypho that the lamb, which is roasted and dressed up in the form of a cross. So as when they sacrifice this lamb, for, he says, one spit is transfixed right through from the lower parts up to the head, and one across the back, to which are attached the legs of the lamb. So that's how they would skin it and then drain its blood. So imagine all these thousands and thousands of lambs being offered, all crucified, okay, as their blood is drained. And that's only a little bit to mention. I encourage you again to delve deeper into the book, but we could dwell more, obviously, on the manna, which our Lord expounds at length in the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, the rod of Aaron, which blossomed, which represents the cross of Christ, the word of God, which dwelt with them, but inscribed on stone, but which laid down the rules of the covenant. As our Lord will say, that if any man loveth me, he keeps my commandments. And you then will contemplate in this in less than 2 weeks how all this is fulfilled in Christ's sacrifice. Christ who is the new Adam. Christ who is the firstborn son, prefigured by Isaac, who will be willingly offered on Calvary. Christ who is offered on Golgotha, that same mount, which is the place of the skull. The skull of whom? Of Adam, as Origen relates, the brightest man there in the third century, mentioning that was the Jewish tradition, that the skull of Adam had been brought there by Melchizedek, that our Lord, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, now offers himself under his body and blood as the Lamb of God, but under the form and appearance of bread and wine. We see that he himself then will receive the bitter wine on the cross, when with a hyssop it is lifted up to him. And having drank of it, having tasted it, he says, now this sacrifice is consummated. And so we contemplate there that, as we hear in the gospel, that he is the great I Am, as he reveals today, that even though we were the guilty party that should have died, he dies on our behalf. God, the Son of God, made man, offers up his human life for our transgressions. And as he bade the apostles to perpetuate this sacrifice throughout time, do this in remembrance of me. And so you will note in every Holy Mass, how do we begin? The principal Mass of the week on Sunday, we start by sprinkling water which flowed from the side of Christ, which makes our water holy, together with his blood, which is then sprinkled on the altar, if you notice, just before Mass, and then the people. We pray at the end of that prayer, the asparagus, asparagus me domine hyssopo, that he sprinkle us, you will sprinkle us, O Lord, with the hyssop, and hence the aspergillium represents that reed in which they were sprinkled with blood, and I shall be whiter than snow. And at the end, so that an angel might not visit us unto our death, we invoke that God send his holy angel to guard, to protect all who dwell in this holy tabernacle. And so then we see, as Mass begins, the priest enters into the Holy of Holies. As we pray, as he ascends the altar in the Alfred Anobis, we see that he kisses the altar. We see the menorah, the candlestick, right, which had seven candles. Where is the seventh candle on our altar? It is Christ himself, the light of the world. We see that the Lamb of God is offered, but under the form of bread and wine. We see that this is offered before the face of God, and then becomes the very face of God amongst us. The Word of God who becomes flesh, as we contemplate him, and we offer incense at the same time as a symbol of this sacrifice. We eat and drink in his very presence, communing with the great I Am, as we in Holy Communion. So all of that, and there's so much more to contemplate as well. Symbols, for example, in the Hanc Igitur, likewise can mystically represent the transference of the sins of the people over the oblata. That this occurs when we ring the bell right before the consecration, making a similar gesture as would the priest putting the sins over the scapegoat. And so much more to contemplate. But it reminds us of the central theme of Passiontide, okay, which passio, coming from the word meaning to suffer, okay, that our Lord voluntarily suffers. He's offering sacrifice. Sacrifice as an act of the virtue of religion, it's of the highest moral virtues, just below the theological ones, but animated by them, okay, by faith, hope, and charity. By sacrifice, it's properly offered to God alone. For by destroying some gift, whether it be grains of incense or the lives of animals in the Old Testament. It represents that he to whom we offer sacrifice is the author of life. We don't get that gift back. It's utterly consumed as a holocaust in love of him. St. Thomas tells us likewise that humility being the foundation of the spiritual life is chiefly expressed by our reverence towards God, by our reverence towards God. And so, in the liturgy and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we find our very raison d'etre, our reason for being. Just as God, why did he choose Israel and draw them out of Egypt? He adds, so that they might offer sacrifice to him. It's the whole purpose of our existence as creatures is to glorify the Creator. That's why he delivers us from our slavery, the Egypt of sin, by holy baptism, in which the soul is configured to Christ, the high priest. Recall, it is your baptismal privilege that you can stay in the church during the offertory and offer this sacrifice, okay, morally, spiritually, through the priest, to God. That is your baptismal rite. You do participate in Christ's priesthood. Not the ministerial, but the priesthood, in virtue of your baptism. The church tells us that this is the source and summit of the Christian life, okay, to the Eucharistic sacrifice. And so in these last 2 weeks, to read and to study on this great moment, which we'll contemplate on Holy Thursday and consummate it on Good Friday, you can, of all the penances you could do, try to come to Mass every day that you can. Okay, we go back to the oldest liturgies of the church, in the very earliest centuries that we'll hear. And recall, as one saint said, that one Mass devoutly heard is worth more in reparation for your sins than a whole year of fasting on bread and water. So assist at the Mass with great devotion, and we're imitating God himself, who sacrificed himself for us. And in Mass, through him, with him, and in him, we offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.